heartbreaking discovery. The body of Alicia Watts found just 20 minutes from her home.
But my cousin, she didn't deserve this.
Now at 7, we'll outline the timeline of how this investigation unfolded. Plus, what's next for her boyfriend charged with her murder. Then a live look at former President Trump on his way to turn himself in to a Georgia jail.
Two big weather stories were focused in on: near record heat and a level one storm threat. Plus, two tropical systems that could impact the East Coast.
And right now at 7 o'clock, we are watching planes land in Atlanta. Former President Donald Trump heading to that area now, where any moment he will surrender to authorities at the Fulton County Jail.
This is all in connection with his attempts to reverse his 2020 election loss in Georgia. You're looking live now outside the Fulton County Jail, where there is heavy security, a kind of a lockdown in the area. We are standing by for an NBC special report as Trump is processed in jail.
We will, of course, bring that report to you live when it begins during this newscast.
Authorities have found the body of missing Moore County woman Alicia Watts, and her boyfriend is charged with murder. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. This discovery was made at a cemetery in the area of Norman in Montgomery County more than 5 weeks now after she disappeared. New images now showing the flowers marking the area where Watts' body was found just hours ago. This investigation has spanned several counties over more than a month.
Alicia Watts was last seen July 16th with boyfriend James Dunmore in Charlotte, which is in Mecklenburg County. Then 2 days later, on July 18th, Dunmore was found unresponsive in Watts' SUV in Anson County. Then that brings us to today, when Alicia Watts' body was found in Montgomery County.
New information keeps rolling in. Not long ago, we learned Dunmore will, in fact, face a judge for the first time Monday morning. You're looking at video now of his arrest earlier today. WRAL's Carly Haynes is live for us in Montgomery County. Carly, we've heard from loved ones. Of course, they were hoping for a much better outcome. They wanted Watts home safely. A tragic turn here. They have to be upset.
They certainly are, Dan. And flowers mark the site where Alicia Watts' body was found earlier today. Now, we still don't know what led police to search this area, but we do know this case drew a lot of attention from people all over the area as community members pushed law enforcement to remain vigilant in their search.
This is not the outcome that we had been hoping for. But by finding Alicia today, it can bring some closure. I hope and I pray it brings some closure to family and friends moving forward.
Some closure, but no less pain for family and friends of Alicia Watts.
I am hurt. Not Brandon, I deserve this. Ow.
The Montgomery County Sheriff's Department believes they've found the body of Alicia Watts Thursday after a search that spanned more than a month. Sky 5 video shows Watts' body was found near a cemetery in the small town of Norman, just 20 minutes away from where she lived in Moore County. Watts' family friend said she had a feeling she was close.
Most time when things happen, it's going to be close to where somebody lived.
The same day Watts' body was found, her boyfriend and a person of interest in the case, James Dunmore, was taken into custody and arrested for murder at his home in Charlotte. He's currently being held at Montgomery County Jail.
There'll be a day of reckoning for this individual that was arrested.
Well, WRAL News uncovered that Dunmore has a violent past with convictions for kidnapping just 3 months ago. His first court appearance will be Monday morning. Dan.
All right. Carly Haynes live with the latest in Montgomery County. Carly, thanks.
I'm Mark Boyle in the WRAL Live Center right now. Former President Donald Trump on the ground in Atlanta, his plane just touching down. He took off from New Jersey a short time ago, going in for a short taxi right now. And he, of course, is going to be processed around 7:30 or so this evening at the Fulton County Jail. A mugshot is expected, and he's already going to agree to have posted that bond, so he'll get out, and we'll see all of that happen here. So this is going to be a short taxi. He'll get out of the plane and then get into his motorcade. The drive time from the Atlanta airport up to the Fulton County Jail right now in traffic right around 32 to 35 minutes. It's not too long. We have seen seen on the ground there in Fulton County in front of the jail. There are a group of supporters that will meet him as he is going in to surrender to those charges he is facing. So we'll continue to follow this development. And of course, standing by for that NBC special report, there's the side-by-side. So on the right, that's the jail. On the left, you're looking at the Atlanta International Airport with former President Donald Trump touching down just a short time ago. If that special report does not pick up in the 7 o'clock hour of our newscast, hoping to show you former President Trump getting off of his plane. So stand by for live updates here in the Live Center as all of this unfolds for you in our 7 o'clock show. Back to you.
Yeah, we'll check in with you soon, Mark. Thanks. Taking a live look now at the radar. Some showers popping up in our area. Tomorrow, we could see some severe storms. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center tracking that risk. Kat?
And those severe storms are to our west tonight. We've got this big ridge of high pressure that's going to be breaking down and steering these thunderstorm complexes out of Virginia, West Virginia, into North Carolina tomorrow evening. And that's exactly what we're seeing happen tonight. The bulk of the storms remain to our west right now, but the western half of our viewing area could see some of these storms after 8 o'clock tonight. It would really be later on, probably in the 9 to 11 o'clock time frame when we have the best chance of that. Tomorrow is when we have a greater threat for severe weather. Damaging wind gusts would be the primary concern, though there could be some lightning as well, and that may be an issue for some of the high school football games as we watch these storms move from north to south throughout the evening hours. Football Friday forecast starts out hot and dry at 6, 7 o'clock, but we see our storm chances ramping up, especially once we get past 8 o'clock tomorrow evening, and the heat does begin to back off. Unfortunately, you're going to be dealing with the heat or the storms for many folks out there tomorrow evening. We're also monitoring the tropics. There are two systems that we have our eye on now. This one is going to be the one to watch. It has a 60% chance of developing in the eastern Gulf of Mexico. Franklin is the other one. Franklin remains a tropical storm set to become a Category 2 hurricane by early next week. It is likely to pass between the East Coast and Bermuda and remain just under 500 miles offshore is where most of these model plots keep it. Still, we'll see an increasing risk for rip currents next week. Very rough surf at the North Carolina coast early in the week. This system, as I mentioned, could bring some impacts to parts of the U.S., and we could even see it cross over Florida. It's going to be one to watch, and I'll have a closer look at that coming up.
Okay, Kat, thank you.
A shark bit a child swimming in shallow water at the North Carolina coast. There's a picture. It shows the bite marks you see on the child there. We blurred a portion of that injury. This happened yesterday afternoon at the beach at Oak Island. Police say the 9-year-old boy was swimming in just a couple of feet of water with an adult family member when that small shark bit the boy on the shoulder. The family took him to the hospital. He was treated and released. He's going to be okay. But Beach Patrol is keeping an eye on that surf area. Let's get another check with what's going on with the former president, with Mark.
Couple of breaking stories. Of course, that is one right here off to my left, but we're also going to shift gears. Dave, come over here. So this is the story about the Durham fatal shooting. Now, I'll show you some video right now. This is Sky 5. Durham police just confirming this for us. So this ended up being a crash and a fatal shooting off of Ash Street. Ash Street is still closed here this evening. You see that car that was involved, very serious crash. Investigators say they do not have anybody in custody at this point. This all started at 5:02 this afternoon with those gunshots, 2400 block of Ash Street. So that is the southeast section of Durham. So stand by for updates on that as we get it. The name of the person involved has not been released. They continue to search for a suspect. And Dan, you mentioned former President Trump. He is on the ground in Atlanta. These are live pictures here. I have one other shot right here to show you. So we are going to see the former president get off the plane. We'll come back to that as soon as that happens at the Live Center.
Okay, Mark, thank you. You know, you heard Mark just talking about the most recent crime in Durham. It seems we talk a lot about that, but overall violent crime in Durham is trending down. The number of murders is steady. The rapes are up, but a decrease in robberies and aggravated assaults are bringing down the overall crime rate. WRAL's Monica Casey shows us the big takeaways from today's presentation of Durham's second quarter crime report.
Newly released 911 calls show no one is immune to gun violence in Durham. One resident found a victim in his backyard on Summer Storm Drive on July 25th.
I heard some gunshots, and there's a guy actually, it looks like he shot behind my house. And he's struggling, and he looks like he's in pain.
That same day, another person called for help after his father had been shot.
Hello, ma'am. My dad got shot, but he couldn't talk. He was on the phone with I think he's in I think he's at Sherwood Park in Durham.
One caller witnessed a shooting, then jumping in and helping that victim apply pressure to the wound.
Oh wait, but there's the park here in Durham, ma'am. There's a guy just shot in the gut, I believe. We need ambulances, cops, everything, please.
Okay. The number of shootings in Durham is up, but the number of people shot is down. Between January and June, there were 466 shootings. That's a 20% increase over last year. 92 people were shot. That's a 25% decrease. Durham Police Chief Patrice Andrews says those numbers show people are more willing to shoot in broad daylight.
I think a shooting that does not end up in someone being shot, we've just been very fortunate.
Durham Police has a 22% vacancy rate for sworn officers. Andrews says that staffing issue is the reason she reassigned the Crime Area Target, or CAT team, to patrol.
We have to be able to respond to our priority one call, all of our calls, but really, you know, the goal is reducing our response time.
One bright spot in this report, the homicide clearance rate, that's cases solved. The FBI average is 49%, but Durham police so far this year have solved 82.6% of homicide cases. In Durham, Monica Casey, WRAL News.
The North Carolina DMV is ending its summer peak season hours this Saturday, but the agency is implementing changes at offices across the state to meet some different types of demand. Starting Monday, five additional offices will open at 7 a.m. instead of 8 a.m., and two of the offices are in our immediate area, on Old U.S. Highway 70 in Clayton and on Forest Hills Drive in Garner. 40 other locations across the state already provide that extra hour of service to customers.
As we await an NBC News special report, we want to get you back to the Atlanta International Airport, where former President Donald Trump's plane has just landed. You can see they've opened up the stairs there, and some of his legal team is starting to exit the plane. We are awaiting former President Trump to exit the plane as well and head over to the Fulton County Jail, where he will be booked on 13 state felony charges in connection with efforts to reverse his 2020 election loss in Georgia. And here you have a live look from outside that county jail. There are many supporters, of course, a lot of heavy security. Law enforcement from multiple jurisdictions are there. Much more on this and other news of the day on the other side of the break. And we're bringing you live pictures now back at the Atlanta International Airport, where former President Donald Trump has just exited his private jet. He is now in what looks like a bit of a motorcade heading to the Fulton County Jail, where he will be booked on 13 state felony charges in connection to his efforts to reverse his 2020 election loss in Georgia. We've got also live pictures from outside of the jail, if we can get that shortly. We are waiting for an NBC special report as well. We will bring that to you as soon as it begins. Here is that live look as a lot of security is awaiting his arrival, and he is expected to be released fairly shortly after he is booked. I believe he will have his mugshot taken. He is going to be released on a $200,000 bond. Thousands of people are fighting for clean drinking water in North Carolina after a plant dumped chemicals into the Cape Fear River for decades.
It was the focus of our latest WRAL documentary, Forever Chemicals, North Carolina's Toxic Tap Water, which premiered last night. Investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance shows us how this environmental crisis turned ordinary people, including kids, into advocates.
I'm Abigail Herman, and I am 13 years old.
Abigail Herman doesn't really remember life before kidney cancer. She was diagnosed at just 4 years old.
And by that time, it had spread to both my lungs also. I had to go through about 3 months, I think, of chemotherapy.
Mom, Chris Herman, remembers every tough treatment.
She was so innocent and so trusting. And you just saw, like, just her soul break.
Abigail is in remission. Now the family is helping to fight a different battle, one for clean water.
My doctor told me that I have to drink water to keep my kidneys healthy, and that is one of the best ways to keep them healthy, and it's like my medicine, yet then the water here is poisoned.
The Hermans live in Wilmington, one of several counties who get their drinking water supply from the Cape Fear River. As we showed you in our recent WRAL doc, Forever Chemicals, a facility in Fayetteville dumped chemicals and byproducts into the Cape Fear River for decades, contaminating the drinking supply for hundreds of thousands of people. The chemicals are part of a class of compounds known as PFAS, dangerous man-made toxins called forever chemicals because they never break down and build up in our bodies and the environment. Forever chemicals have been linked to negative health problems, including cancer, liver damage, and birth defects.
When you read that, what did you think?
I was so mad. We all were. My daughter was mad.
The Hermans are part of Clean Cape Fear, a group started by mom-turned-advocate Emily Donovan.
The subcommittee will come to order.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the subcommittee for elevating the issue of PFAS water.
You know, when I testified before Congress, I just told them our contamination story, and I told them the human impacts. These are the filling stations.
Clean Cape Fear is one of many nonprofits pushing for change and accountability. Chemours, a subsidiary of DuPont, owns the plant. A 2019 consent order between DEQ and Chemours forced the company to stop polluting PFAS into the air and water surrounding the plant.
The reason I brought my lawsuit is because I know that more people were affected. People all downstream have been affected.
Clean Cape Fear sued the EPA, trying to force them to require Chemours to pay for an independent research program on 54 PFAS found in the air, soil, water, and people's blood. A judge dismissed the lawsuit. The group recently filed a complaint with the United Nations Human Rights Commission to stop Chemours from expanding.
My biggest fear is that the water is probably going to harm more people.
Abigail has told her story at several events.
Okay, well, we now have this story. Let's start telling it and see if our story helps change anything.
We were with the family when they went to Duke Children's Hospital for Abigail's annual checkup.
It's been a while.
Her kidney cancer is still gone, but now she has skin cancer.
And it is a secondary cancer from the results of the first cancer because it was so much radiation that she had. But everything we did and all the choices we made and the doctor made was to save her four-year-old life. It was necessary, you know, because if we didn't do that, I don't think we'd have a 13-year-old Abigail. Yeah, so we like 13-year-old Abigail. That's right.
I'm WRL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance.
You're okay.
An important topic, and you can watch the entire documentary on WRL.com under the documentary tab.
Let's send it over now to meteorologist Kat Campbell. Is this a live shot?
Not bad.
Yes, it is.
Beaufort looking good.
Looking beautiful. Kat, it's beautiful over here. We've got some storms, though, to our west coming our way.
And, you know, those are just going to kind of skirt the western edge of our viewing area. So the best chance of seeing a thunderstorm tonight would be closer to Person County, Orange County, Chatham, Lee, and Moore counties. So we're going to keep an eye on these storms as they continue to push to the southeast tonight. The best chance would likely come after about 8 or 9 o'clock. And Futurecast, throughout the afternoon, did a pretty good job with developing these storms off to our northwest. It is showing those storms continuing to dive to the south and perhaps impacting the western part of our viewing area later tonight. So just don't be surprised if you do hear a few rumbles of thunder. Let's talk tropics, though, because things are starting to get more interesting. Franklin may bring rough surf to our coast, but this is going to be one to watch. It's centered right here, so it's actually emerging from the Pacific. It's going to be moving into the eastern Gulf of Mexico. And the chance this develops into a tropical depression, 80 to 90% on the European model ensembles. This is a really good forecasting tool that we have during hurricane season, and it's showing that chance still about 60 to 70% as what could be our next tropical system approaches Florida, likely to follow this general path. And the European model has been very consistent. Its ensembles have been in fairly good agreement about the potential for this tropical system to develop as we get into early next week, perhaps by the middle of the week, crossing over Florida and pushing to the east. And we could see some coastal impacts as it continues to move east and away from North Carolina. We want to go ahead and alert you to that possibility. possibility. We still have a week to go to track the system, but it is one that bears watching for potential North Carolina impact. So we're going to be watching it closely for you in the days ahead as we fine-tune the details and really help you get prepared. You know, we're just now getting toward the peak of hurricane season, but we're not there yet. We're not to that peak mark, and we're not on the other side of it either. Tomorrow, we've got big heat coming our way. 99 the high with a chance for storms tomorrow evening and tomorrow night. Once we get to the weekend, it looks like Sunday and Monday have a better chance for some storms. That may mean that the kids need an umbrella as they head to school on Monday.
All right, Kat, thank you.
As we go to break, let's take another live look at the former president's motorcade leaving the Atlanta International Airport, where he landed just moments ago, on his way currently to the Fulton County Jail in Georgia, where he will face 13 state felony charges in connection with efforts to reverse his 2020 election loss in Georgia. There is a lot of media and security outside of that jail right now. The president had said he intends to turn himself in at 7:30 and appears to be on schedule. We've also learned that NBC will take a special report immediately following this newscast at 7:30. Stay with us. We're back after this.
Right now it's 7:25. Former President Donald Trump is in Atlanta right now. These are live pictures. Just getting off of I-75, it appears they have cleared the interstate there to allow his motorcade to get quickly from the airport to the Fulton County Jail. Let's show you some video. This happened about 10 minutes ago. The former president landing at the airport. There he was by himself, getting off of his private plane, walking down, looking at the reporters there, saying thank you, and then got in that motorcade. So he will be processed into the Fulton County Jail. We expect that mugshot, and then he posted the bond, and then he will leave. We're definitely going to follow this to see if he answers any questions later this evening in front of the jail. There are supporters there as well. NBC Nightly News is going to be picking up coverage right at 7:30 as the motorcade gets closer to the jail. Dan and Ashley.
All right, Mark, thank you so much. We appreciate you at home making WRL your choice for local news.
Keep it right here for that NBC special report as Donald Trump surrenders at the Fulton County Jail.